Welcome to the Recruiting Scoop on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook. We got Justin Wells. We have a huge weekend for recruiting. Texas not only is hosting a scrimmage, they're going to have high school coaches there for the coaches clinic. They are going to have a ton of recruits, including a handful of five stars, some of the Longhorns' top targets in the 2026 class, and even some 2027 guys there. We're going to go over some of the big ones that you need to know about. We'll have more throughout the weekend, not only on this channel, but on InsideTexas.com. And if you're not on InsideTexas.com, make sure you head over there today. 4 months for just $1. It is April 11th. Heck, that gets you through August 11th. You get this upcoming weekend. We're going to have recruiting reports. We're going to have scrimmage reports. We're going to have all that. We're going to have all the analysis you need from insider intel and more heading into the spring fan day. May, June, July, there's portal, there's official visits, there's team workouts, there's other sports with Jim Schlossnagel and Sean Miller doing their thing on the 40 acres. So make sure you head to InsideTexas.com. Get 4 months for just $1 today. Justin, you posted, as you do every Friday, the recruiting humidor over on InsideTexas.com. Big thing today in your analysis piece is all
the Why did you let me keep the popped collar I was rocking this morning? We just went 2 minutes into the show and I was popping the collar. I might bring it back.
Guess what? We're not cutting that too. So it's one of those days. It's one of those weekends where you do pop the collar. How about that?
Yes.
There are a lot of different, lot of recruits heading into town. Go to InsideTexas.com, find the recruiting humidor, find out who's going to be there. But we're going to talk about a few of the biggest ones, most important ones making their way into town. And, you know, we've spent the past few weeks talking about one of the state's top offensive linemen and Felix Ojo. He made his way to Texas last weekend for Thursday's scrimmage. You've probably seen his face on here in the thumbnail for these videos pretty often. The other face you've seen pretty often belongs to John Turntine from Fort Worth, North Crowley. He's number 39 overall prospect in the On3 industry ranking. And this is a recruitment where you can look at the prospect, look at how he plays, and look at the visit patterns and understand Texas is in a phenomenal spot. And this visit seems, Justin, to only have a good chance of solidifying Texas' position in this pursuit.
Boy, you rattled that off beautifully. That was good stuff. Like a pro, Joe. Listen, you know, Felix Ojo has been trending Texas for a little while now, and it's kind of picked up over the last few months. Texas and John Turntine have been doing this dance for well over a year. John Turntine and their family is absolutely enamored with Kyle Flood, Steve Sarkisian, and that assembly line of offensive linemen that are headed to the NFL. That's a big deal. There's a lot of little bitty data points to this that really screams Texas. He's got family in Austin. He's got, I think, a brother and sister that attend Houston Tillotson. He's got another one that's about to graduate from Texas in May. There's a lot of ties there. But I think ultimately – Texas has just – they've been the consistent team. They have – John Turntine and Texas have been – I believe he was offered almost 2 years ago. So this is a relationship that has just been building and building. And what Turntine has watched is the last 2 years of really good O-line play in Austin. He's seen the example. Everything Flood and Sark say – he has already seen on the field multiple times. He's seen when they come into the office and they talk and they break down film. This is all this is the art of building a relationship. And that's exactly, I think, why Texas, it's Texas versus the field. I asked Charlie the other day on our intel, you know, who are some of the competition for Turntine? It took him a minute to even think of someone. You know, obviously Tennessee had been pushing. A&M was trying to push. Michigan really, really liked him, brought him up there for a visit. But at the end of the day, it just felt like Texas in turn time makes a lot of sense. And the fact that he's coming back this weekend, I think Ojo and Nicholas Robertson teased him a little bit, told him they got to watch some scrimmages because those guys all talk to each other. Now it's Turntine's turn to come in and watch a Texas scrimmage, see how those O linemen compete, tell us something really good about Trevor Goosby because that seems to be the hot name in spring ball right now. John Turntine in Texas makes a lot of sense. It'll be good to see their family back on the 40.
One thing that we've mentioned a lot in the past few weeks when we're talking about recruiting in spring football is, you know, the official visits, that's wining and dining. The games, those are games. But the practices, that's where you see daily life, what your life is going to be like Monday through Friday or Sunday through Friday as a football player. And that's what's really important. And Turntime has seen that. He's seen that from Kyle Flood. He's seen that from all the different coaches that help with the offense. Steve Sarkisian, of course. He knows what that looks like, and he's going to get another chance to see it for a recruitment Texas is in a great spot for.
Do you know why also, the prospects love practice? It's the one opportunity to put themselves in the position that they're seeing a kid. They can envision in that scenario much different than a wine-and-dine official visit or a game attendance. They love seeing practice because they can see themselves doing that on the field.
Exactly. And someone who has seen themselves doing that on the field, I think or the picture we have of him in our database that we use very often is of him, Brandon Harris, and Raja all out of practice. That is Dia Bell, Texas five-star quarterback commit. If you've been over on three, you've probably seen some of our national friends, whether it be Charles Power or someone like that, write about how Dia Bell is in contention to be the number one quarterback in this class. Him and Jared Curtis, I think, are the main competition. There are a few others around there, but Texas focused on Dia Bell from the beginning. This is the guy they wanted. This is who Dia Bell wanted to be at Texas, and he'll be back doing some recruiting on some guys like Turntime this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, so Dia Bell has really taken on this role as recruiter for Texas. And we talked about this. I believe you got to see him for a minute at the Elite 11, got to catch up with him. I got to catch up with him at OT7 a couple weeks ago. You know, he told me he's coming April 26th for the big fan fest at the end of spring ball. But he decided, you know what? I'm going to pivot. I'm going to come back this weekend. They need me. There's some really good prospects in here that need to talk to him. Dia Bell needs to talk to – he already talks to John Turntine and KJ Edwards. He needs to talk to Mason James. He needs to hang out with that guy. He needs to talk a little bit with Zarek Sidney and Tay Ellis and some of these others. And so maybe even Brian Swanson. And so Dia Bell is just doing his job. This, you know, we got spoiled with the Arch Manning recruitment because once he committed, we knew it was over. We knew it was done. And then Arch started the building process. Dia Bell is doing the exact same thing. He is locked in. He is already recruiting the coaches. He even told us the coaches will send him a list of names week to week. Hey, reach out to this guy. Hey, touch base with this guy. Hey, see what you think about this guy. That's ownership. I can't think of a better situation for a young prospect at quarterback to come into for them to give him the autonomy to help build out his guys. He posted a picture of him and Felix Ojo 2 days ago on Twitter. Buddy, that's going to happen. That's what Dia Bell is doing. He is so good on the field. He is equally as good off the field. What an unbelievable kid. Hey, and his personality is even better. He's very grounded. Raja and his wife have done an amazing job with that family, him and his brothers and his baby sister. They're all athletes. And so Dia's coming home. He's got some work to do. That's what we wrote in the Humidor this morning. He's got some work to do. So he's going to work.
It's very interesting to see how, and I think we may have just started to notice this with Arch Manning's class, and I wrote about this. There are so many professional athlete families who have trusted Steve Sarkisian. And I wouldn't be surprised if similar applied to Kirby Smart and if similar applied to Nick Saban when he was still coaching. But there are so many different families who not just football, but from athletic backgrounds, who've looked at what's going on at Steve Sarkisian's program and said, you know what, I'm in. And you start with the Mannings. You always are going to have them. I know he transferred out. Terrence Brooks, his dad, played in the NFL. Going to Santana Wilson, his dad, Adrian Wilson, All-Pro. Lance St. Louis, I believe his uncle is the LA Rams general manager. Then you look someone like Cole Hutson. His dad played baseball in the collegiate level and minor league level. Trying to think of a few more. There are more, but you know, Raja is obviously his dad. I know that's basketball; it's a different sport, but you know what the grind is like. You know what it takes to reach just college football, high level Power Four football, and the motivation it requires, and things like that, and for yet another family to see that and think, you know what? Yep, this is what I what I want my kid to be in, what I want him to grow up in. That's going to continue to help Steve Sarkisian on the trail going forward. And, you know, we'll be able to, maybe we need to start putting a filter on recruits saying like, hey, did your dad play ball anywhere? Cause that kind of seems
already
to
ask him that.
Yeah.
Amari Vickerson. We wrote a story that you helped me with yesterday. Amari Vickerson, his dad played in the league for a long time, Michigan State legacy. Yeah, there's a trend there. I see it, Joe, and it just validates what Sark is doing in this program. And when they have 9-10 guys drafted in 2 weeks, that's going to be further validation. This just shows you it's a smaller point of a bigger picture that Sark and these guys get it, and these parents do too.
All right, I found the list. I wrote it. When did I write this? 2020. So when the 2024 class signed, you got Terrence Brooks, Chet Brooks's son, Lance St. Louis. His dad played as a long snapper in the NFL.
If you don't know,
yep, Bengals. Obviously, Arch Santana Wilson is Adrian Wilson's son. Cole Hudson's father played baseball for a College World Series runner up. Brooks Kieschnick, his son, walk on offensive
line. Cubs first round pick.
Yeah, and Brooks Kieschnick was good at college baseball and baseball in general.
One of the last two-way guys of our time.
Colton Vosick's dad played at Texas. Right. You know, just so many different – that's –
Alex January's dad played at Texas.
Exactly. So there are a lot of – and that, yeah, more have signed since then. So there seems to be obviously something in Steve Sarkisian's program that parents –
there's a professional vibe there.
Correct. They understand what needs to happen and seem to believe that Sarkisian's program is a place for that to happen. We got a few more other recruits to talk about. Before we keep going, got to show some love to our sponsor, and that is Lux Kitchen and Bath.
This video is brought to you by Lux Kitchen and Bath. Lux has been offering high-end kitchen and bathroom remodels for three generations throughout the greater Austin area. With five-star review after five-star review on Google and Facebook, and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can put your faith in Lux Kitchen and Bath's award-winning designers and skilled craftspeople to bring to life that dream vision of your special home. But that's not all. Lux's all-star team provides full remodels, large additions, and even commercial build-outs as well. So call Lux Kitchen and Bath at 833-358-LUX today. Or visit luxkitchenbath.com to discover where quality meets luxury and begin the process of transforming your home. Get a free quote today by calling 833-358-LUX. That's L-U-X-E. Or by visiting luxkitchenbath.com. Link in the description.
Next guy, Justin, that we've got to talk about is we've seen a trend in the past couple cycles of USC, West Coast team in the Big Ten, heading to somewhere in the Southeast and landing a very large splash commitment early from a five-star defender. The latest example of that is Xavier Griffin from Gainesville, Georgia, committed to the Trojans, but as our Charlie Williams pointed out over on Inside Texas, Griffin's making his way to Austin this upcoming weekend, and I'm going to play his film. He is the – what did I write down? He's, a five-star by most – classification.
I think it's like the number three linebacker in the cycle.
I can find it real
three
quick.
Three or four. He's number three or four.
But you can look to Texas roster and see that sometimes these commitments from Georgia to USC don't stick. If you go ahead and check out what team Justice Terry is on right now. And now as Texas is trying to get the number 24 overall prospect on the On3 industry ranking, they'll be working to make it back-to-back when they go to Georgia and try to unseat USC. And then, obviously, the in-state Bulldogs as well.
Yeah, even though he's committed to USC, that's not the school to watch because that commitment obviously won't last. The school to watch is going to be Georgia, just like it was with Justice Terry last year. It wasn't USC's – wasn't the competition. It was actually in-state Bulldogs and Kirby Smart. Same thing goes for Elijah Griffin. Look, this guy is kind of a wrecking crew in a sense. They have another linebacker in state that's rated higher, and I don't know why. I look, I really like Tyler Atkinson. I think Griffin's different. I think he's bigger. I think he's stronger. And I think he really threads a needle when it comes to gaps and stuff like that. This is one of those you got to shoot your shot recruitments because everybody wants this guy. He's got every offer in the country. He could walk. He's a numbers buster. He could walk into any program and probably make an impact as a freshman. That's how valuable he is. And plus, that's who Texas is going for. We talked about this in January and February. They are going to cherry pick in this cycle. They know they can do that. You sign the number one class the year before. You go to the semifinals in the college football playoffs back to back. You can do that. And that's what they're doing here with Griffin. This is the start because they want to get him in for an official visit. That's the big thing. This trip is going to tell us how far forward they move. So this out of some of these recruits coming in, we kind of get a sense of what's going to happen, what's going on. This is one we need to learn something from. And I can't wait to meet the kid on Saturday and kind of get to, you know, ask him a few questions. And, you know, try to figure out his story and his path. But as you can see on the tape, Xavier Griffin is violent, and he's got a great – Texas has, you know, a pair of really good examples in Anthony Smith and Leona Lafau of two guys to watch. And then you throw some Ty Anthony Smith into the mix, and then you show a true freshman, Elijah Bo Barnes, who's already slimmed down and looks great. That's what he's going to see on Saturday, Joe. He's going to watch Ant Hill – go hunt people's souls, and he's going to envision himself in that same mold wearing that number zero. That's how recruitments really get started. And so, I think with this one, it's just now getting started. This is the proverbial USC grab somebody early. Look, USC has a method. Get as many in the boat as you can early and just hold on to them like grim death till signing day, hoping you can keep most of them. And so it's obviously the opposite of how Sark rolls. But you know what? Give the Trojans credit. They jumped in on him early. They got him in the class early. I don't think that lasts. Let's see what Texas shows him. If they can impress him this weekend and set that official visit, this gets real. Until then, it's just something we're monitoring.
I'm glad we brought up Anthony Hill. And I would have to rewatch his Denton Ryan tape to know this. Obviously didn't see much running back there from Griffin, but like we'll use him on the edge. Okay, we'll use him off ball a little bit and tell him to go attack. I see some similarities there. Yeah. Anthony Hill, I don't know if we're ever going to find a highlight tape more violent than Anthony Hill's.
Dalton Santos.
Well, Cecil Sherry had some good ones too. It didn't really play out as much. But Anthony Hill had violence both as a rusher and a run stopper. And you can see a little bit of that in Griffin and see why he's so highly rated. Justin, we got to swing it back to East Texas for this one. And we got to talk a little bit about a star running back from Carthage. That man's name is KJ Edwards. He is the number 41 overall prospect in the On3 industry ranking. And while Chad Scott likes to look around the country for and tap into some Florida connections for a running back, there's also a well-built connection with Edwards with the in-state Longhorns dating before Scott got there that Texas is going to look to maybe capitalize a little bit further on this upcoming weekend.
Look, so we went through that saga when Tashard Choice took that job in Detroit. And the board got rearranged a little bit. You know, we Javion Osborne was the top guy, and now it looks like that's going to be a Notre Dame-Michigan battle. And the reason why is because Texas adjusted their big board. And KJ Edwards went from around number three, number four, to number one. That's because Chad Scott is going to be accountable for the players he brings in. And so for his stand, in his eyes, he loves KJ Edwards. He loves what he brings. You named it. There's so many things this guy has already accomplished in his high school career, finishing off with a back-to-back state championship. His third ring in 4 years seems pretty appropriate. He'll be an early enrollee, and so this is a guy that's going to be on campus next January. Look, this is Texas recruitment to lose. Let's just be honest. And he's going to stay close. He had a ton. You know, Georgia came at him. LSU came at him. Alabama's had him on campus. There's a lot of schools in the mix, but KJ never wanted to go too far from home. So it was always going to be Texas, Texas A&M, or SMU. And then Oklahoma was also kind of trying to get their footing in there, but I don't think he has any interest in Oklahoma, which may even pretend why Texas is leading there even more so. And so this is Texas, and like I said, with turn time, Texas and Edwards makes a lot of sense. I think that's kind of the school he's always wanted to go to. And once Chad Scott jumped into the job, they talked four or five times in the first week and a half. He still talks to KJ twice a week. He still talks to his dad at least once a week. That relationship is growing every phone call, and Texas just needs to hold steady here. I think they're in a tremendous position. The only thing they've got to watch is A&M's pushing. A&M really likes him, and they get the last official visit. They get that June 20th to the 22nd spot. He wants to commit in early August. I want to say like August 2nd, August 3rd. He's got an early August commitment date. I'm not even sure if he goes that long because I think he knows where he wants to go. Matter of fact, I think he knows where he's going to be playing college ball for the next 3 or 4 years. And so him coming back on campus, he's bringing his speedster, freaky athlete, little brother J.D. Edwards, who is also on the Texas target from the class of 2028 with him. It's a family affair when Clifton Jr. comes on campus. And this will be, I think I told me, his ninth time to hit Austin in the last 2.5 years. We'll also be sure and not only check out our list of guys coming in the humidor. We got a story of KJ Edwards talking about what he wants to see and wants to learn from the Horns on this trip. Be sure and check that out at InsideTexas.com.
I think just by judging by some of these players that they're running against, some of these runs were against Ricky Stewart's Chapel Hill team. And he went to Baylor, right? The other star on that Chapel Hill team?
Desmond Brisbane signed with Baylor.
So he's running away from some Power 5 players here.
Oh, yeah. Chapel Hill had three or four of them.
You know, playing against Liberty ILU and I think Jacksonville.
When you're playing Kilgore, DB's going to Michigan. You're playing Gilmer. You got DBs going to different places. Like, the talent in 4A in East Texas, that's the cream right there. That's the top of it. And KJ has shown, listen, this is something that it stabs my heart. If you want to watch tape, go 2 years ago when they played Pleasant Grove in, like, the area maybe the quarterfinals. He made a move on Lance Jackson. It was dirty, downright illegal. It was so nasty. And so, hey, I love Lance, but KJ got him on that one. He's a fun guy to watch.
Last but certainly not least is Samari Matthews. This is a player ranked – let me find it. I got it pulled up here. Number 71 in the On3 industry ranking from the state of North Carolina. And this is a prospect that not only do you have teams all up and down the Atlantic coast fighting for. I'm looking from an article at our buddy Stephen Wagner of Texas X, who covers Miami. The Canes are involved. So are the Gamecocks. So are the Seminoles. So are the Clemson Tigers. But Texas, thanks to a connection with Mark Orfe, has really made themselves at home in this recruitment. And Samari's coming back to Texas this upcoming weekend. And the Longhorns have to feel like, for someone from North Carolina, a place they don't often mine for talent, they feel like they're in a pretty good spot for one of the better defensive backs in the country.
Hey, if you find one of the best corners in the country and he just happens to live in North Carolina, make that trip. Go see him. It's a beautiful place. Go see him, because Samari Matthews, you know, we saw him at OT7 a couple weekends ago, and he's a fun guy to watch and a fun guy to talk to. Every time you talk to recruits, especially the out-of-state guys, and you ask them about their Texas offer, they're generally excited. They're going to give you some nice talking points. That's basic recruiting 101. They're going to say nice things. Samari Matthews was blown away. Every cycle, you see two or three of these guys from out-of-state that once they got Texas's offer, their mindset changed. They almost felt like they've arrived in a sense. And that's why I think we're actually watching this recruitment really closely this weekend. I think it's trending Texas in a very quiet sense. And I think Samari, this is a trip that, you know, we talked about Xavier Griffin. We need to kind of see where he's at after this trip. Samari is another one that you could, maybe even more so. Like, I want to know exactly kind of how this visit goes, because I think that's going to be a big tell. He's got an official visit in June coming in Austin. Like you said, there's a handful of those ACC schools in the mix. It would be easy for them to sell proximity and playing closer to home. This kid does not care. He has no problem going across the country to play his college football if that means it's in Austin for the University of Texas. Every cycle, there's like three, maybe four of these guys, Joe, that – they don't give you the stock quote of, oh yeah, I love it, I'm grateful, this is awesome. When Samari had the offer, the smile looked like the Joker. Like, it was ear to ear. This kid was so excited and so happy. And I have a sense this kid might wind up in this class.
You know, I'm looking at the the rankings both for nationally at corner and in state at the position. It doesn't include, when you look at On3, Jalen Lott. He's ranked as a wide receiver, 74 overall in the country. And we're talking about Matthews, who's number 71. Jermaine Bishop, another athletic guy, number 145 overall in the country. And again, Matthews is 71. And it's a little bit peculiar because I'm looking through the state rankings. There is not, aside from Lott, who, again, Texas is recruiting as a cornerback, there is not another cornerback true ranked that way inside the, how far do I have to keep scrolling, top 35 until you get to Jamarian Vincent, who's committed to Baylor.
Jamari Matthews would be the number two corner in the state if he was in Texas right now. Above Jermaine Bishop. Right above. I mean, Bishop's a better athlete. Don't get it twisted. Bishop's a freak. But Samari would probably be your second highest rated corner in state if he lived in Texas.
And so that's why you're starting to see Texas expand their look nationally when you're talking about corners. And I'm just trying to go, I'm going over the top corners that on On3's list. They're talking and recruiting Haven Finney very hard, number six.
Reclassified out of California. He hung out with LeBronny James.
Justice Fitzpatrick, Minka, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, pull that one out of Alabama if you can.
But there's not – they really have – what I'm saying is, like, they are really having to search in some places they don't normally search for corner talent, and they are leveraging that connection that Mark Orfeh had at Rutgers and is bringing in from that relationship that he is bringing from Piscataway all the way to Austin, Texas.
Hey, when you become an assistant coach at Texas, and we've seen this over the last few cycles, Texas had to add a few guys here and there. Chris Jackson 2 years ago, Kenny Baker in the last year, Chad Scott, Mark Orfeh, Dwayne Aquina this time. When you're having to add all those guys, you know what's really a really good thing is when you bring your own recruits, your relationships, your previous relationships that you had with other guys. And you're like, hey, Sark, have you seen the tape on this guy? When Orfeh puts up the tape on Samari Matthews, and Sark goes, we're good. PK goes, we're good. Hey, go get that kid. Like you said, they're uncovering guys from all over the place that they don't generally look, but that's the benefit of bringing in a new coach sometimes, like Elijah Kimball. I'm telling you, that's a 2027 running back from New York that Texas fans need to imprint in their brain, because Coach Scott loves him. Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan love him. And he's going to be on campus this weekend too, by God. So that's something else we're going to watch. But yeah, this is Orfeh saying, hey, I've got this dude in North Carolina. Chapel Bill ain't going to happen. Let's see what we can do. And that's PK and Sark and the staff going, hey, nice job.
Luckily for Orfeh, it's looking like some more familiar places are going to be a little bit more beneficial for him for corner in the 2027 class.
Oh, he won't have to leave the state. He's not going to have to leave the state in 27. Yeah.
Keep an eye on John Meredith there.
And John Meredith, if John Meredith and Jaquan Snell are in the 2027 cycle, Mark Orfeh, Dwayne Aquina, you did your job.
Exactly. We will have this whole weekend covered over on Inside Texas. We'll also have it covered here on this channel. So like this video, subscribe to the channel. And of course, if you have not done so yet, $1, 4 months. Head to Inside Texas. We're bringing all this insight. Come talk about it. We'll be talking about it all weekend over on the members only message board. And if you join today, you're going to be here with us all the way to when the preseason gets going. So come to InsideTexas.com. It is the place to be if you want to talk about recruiting. So Justin, thank you so much. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.